Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. Go figure. I love days like today. The CDC uses its own data and then quietly releases the statistic that after 4 months, the effectiveness of the COVID vaccine goes to zero. Now, I think it may be zero long before 4 months, but at least they're starting to get on board with the fact that its effectiveness goes to zero after 4 months. What is the CDC doing here? What is NIH doing? Why does it take now 3 years before we come to the conclusion that this just isn't working? I've got the numbers here. This is from the CDC's own study, their own statistics about people 18 to 64. And forget it, when you become 64 and older, it gets even worse. I mean, you're talking about 9% effectiveness after 120 days for people 64 and older. Why bother taking this when you have all the risks associated with it? And then a federal appeals court rules that these two medical associations can sue the medical boards that threaten doctors who are speaking out against the treatment of COVID-19, threatening to take their licenses away when they were calling into question the vaccine. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals says that suit can go through. I got a lot of other health news to go through, including drug shortages, by the way. 125 drug shortages as of the end of last year. This is real, which is why I tell you, folks, get with the wellness company, twc.health/grant. Use that promo code grant. You do not want to get caught in a drug shortage. Get the prescription medications you need on hand, specifically antivirals, antiparasitics, antibiotics, the most popular types, including ivermectin. All you got to do is go to that website, twc.health/grant. Use that promo code grant. All right, let's talk about all of this. Let's get the party started.
Uncensored and unapologetic. This is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, welcome everybody. Our guest today is Peter Galluli with the Wellness Company. Peter, it's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me back, Grant.
All right, so does it surprise you that the CDC comes out? The exact headline was effectiveness of current COVID vax plunged to near zero after 4 months. That from the Epoch Times.
It doesn't surprise me one bit, Grant. I mean, I've kind of lost track of which number booster we're on. I stopped counting at 8 or 9, and we wouldn't need 8 or 9 if they were effective. I think the big question that I'm waiting for them to answer is the vaccine actually have negative effectiveness? Does it actually do more harm than good? Does it make you more susceptible to diseases of all kinds? And I think those downside risks are really the big questions that we need to have answers for.
You know, it's interesting when you took the 18 to 64 number, after 4 months, it didn't just go to zero. The study said it went to negative zero, which means after 4 months, that means mean more people were going into this is urgent care or emergency rooms. If the number goes to negative zero. So maybe that is proving that might be the case, but you look at all the side effects, you look at everything happening with this vaccine. My concern is a lot of it isn't being reported and then attached to the vaccine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think there's a lot of evidence out there that's going to start coming in that the COVID-19 shots were actually neutering people's immune systems and giving that opposite effect that you just mentioned. But yeah, absolutely, Grant. And I think we really need to be studying exactly what the long-term side effects are going to be for these, because people aren't informed. And to your point about the side effects that they're receiving, where do you even report that to nowadays? I mean, you can go tell your doctor, he's probably just going to kind of nod his head and move on to the next topic. You know, the VARS system, next to useless when it comes to vaccine reaction reporting, because they're never taking action on any of that data. So it's a really, really hard question, Grant, because these vaccine injuries that we're seeing prolifically across the landscape nowadays, you know, people don't have good resources and doctors that are actually even trained or knowledgeable in this field. I mean, vaccines are given literally one day of class in med school, and that's it. So, you know, no surprise.
It's interesting. All these stories I'm going to talk about, when you break them down, they're all connected. I was talking, and Peter and I were talking just before we came on, about for-profit hospitals versus non-profit hospitals. And then I got an email from a doctor who said he's so concerned that all of the physician-owned practices are being bought up by hospitals. And this leads into the inability, I think, for doctors to critically think when now you no longer work for yourself. It's no longer your practice. You work for some big hospital chain, whether it's Methodist or Texas Health Resources, whatever it might be. They tell you what to say or do. Now you're beholden to these big companies where it used to be all these private practices. That is a dying situation of private practices for doctors, isn't it?
Well, the first problem, Grant, is that the insurance and pharmaceutical industry have driven the cost up of operating your own medical practice so much because you have to have so much overhead to deal with the billing and the processing that it's just not economical for, you know, an individual really to start their own private practice and be able to accept insurance, which is why we see basically cash only private practices doing elective surgeries. Now, the other issue that we're facing, which I don't think people maybe appreciate, because people have this notion that doctors, you know, are very well paid and wealthy. You know, in fact, most doctors, they leave med school with more debt than, you know, a mortgage leaves people on average. I mean, you're talking, you know, $400,000-$600,000 in debt, and there's no collateral to that debt. It's not like you can just sell your house like you can if you have a mortgage. So they have no choice but to go into these systems and follow the exact instructions that they're given. Otherwise, they're out of job and they still have to pay their debt bills every single month.
What do you think? You may not even know the answer to this, but what do you think an average doctor makes in his mid-30s, early 40s, working in a hospital system, you know, that's not the top plastic surgeon in Dallas or LA?
I think you'd be surprised by how low. I mean, keep in mind, by the time you do med school and finish residency, if you did straight through college, didn't take any break, you're almost 30 already, right? So your first doctor job after that, you're going to be paid low six figures, you know, mid-$100,000. And that's really when you got to start chipping away at that medical school debt. Yeah. And you're not really earning money until you're probably in your late 40s, assuming you're successful.
Yeah. Amazing. And then you have to ask, what is it worth? I've got a buddy of mine who's a high-priced attorney, and he's still paying off his attorney's fees. That I'm sure probably not as high as a doctor, because doctors got to be in school even longer than attorneys do, but he's still paying that off, and he's 40 something years old. So this is, it's interesting. You raised the cost of all of this, which is why I'm sure they were eager to get paid from the vaccine companies to give these vaccines that the government was funding, the whole process. But literally I've seen charts where there were bonuses given for how many vaccines you offered, and it was thousands upon thousands of dollars people were making off of this.
You're absolutely right, Grant. And keep in mind, that bonus scheme is not a new phenomenon when it comes to vaccine. Pediatricians are incentivized in the same way. They get bonuses every time they have children that finish the full 72-shot vaccine schedule before the age of three. This is a tool that the pharmaceutical industry has used for a very long time to incentivize the behavior that they want, which is more shots.
It is amazing. Back to this study. This was to keep you out of urgent care, 18 to 64. First 4 months, they gave a rate of 52% effectiveness for the first 4 months, that then down to negative zero after 4 months. Then the next level was against hospitalization, was 31% effectiveness against hospitalization, down to 4% after 4 months. And if you're over 65, they said it was 16% effectiveness after the 4 months. Now, I don't know why it would be any different from older, other than all of this stuff. I'm skeptical of all of these numbers. The reason I bring them to you, Peter, is because they at least show the trend going downward and a slow admission that they're not working.
Yeah, I mean, we're chipping away at the narrative here piece by piece. And, you know, ironically, Grant, you would expect that a treatment like a vaccine that they advertise would be more effective for the most vulnerable populations, the elderly,
yeah,
not for, you know, young people like you and I that are in good physical condition. And that's just also not the case, right? And that really kind of goes against everything that they've pushed in terms of marketing these things to the public about their safety and efficacy.
Sure does. And so, you know, that's why we bring these stories to you to see this. Now, the next story I wanted to talk to you about is this idea of drug shortage. U.S. Pharmacopoeia's first annual drug shortage report was just released. 125 active drug shortages at the end of 2023. And here's what was crazy. It seemed to be that the epinephrine was one, that the EpiPens, and then any injectable medicines were high up on the list here. And I was shocked that these shortages last upwards of 3 years.
It's mind blowing, Grant. And you would think in terms of the most developed, the most wealthy country in the world, we would have stockpiles of life-saving medications for our citizens in the event that there's a shortage. But that's just not the case. And I think we have to also kind of look back at how we got to this point. Just like the automotive industry in Detroit outsourced all of their production of medicines, the pharmaceutical industry did the same. It just wasn't as profitable for them to produce drugs in America, except if we're talking the kind of rare, niche, expensive drugs that you see advertised on TV with the 30 seconds of side effects at the end of the commercial. The life-saving drugs, the insulins, the EpiPens, the things that you just mentioned, the injectables, they're all produced overseas. And, if there's any, supply chain disruption in shipping, war, any other conflict, any duty or tariffs disputes, the American consumer is the one that pays the price, sometimes with their life, yeah. Right? And that's just it's a crime that we're in the situation.
So one of the things that they talked about here was manufacturing complexity and the ability to keep facilities sterile, especially for the injectables. And if you believe this, of the FDA inspections, the FDA found 40% of the facilities they inspected had, quote, objectionable conditions, which can't be good when you talk about manufacturing drugs.
Well, does it surprise you if you're inspecting a plant in Mumbai, Grant, and these are the conditions that you encounter? Because that's exactly what they're talking about here. It's funny that they don't really highlight the locations of the plant, because I think that would probably answer a lot of the concerns that they have. But yeah, it's absolutely a major issue.
Well, I think this would be a good time for me to tell everybody about your organization, the Wellness Company, and what you can do to protect yourself from these drug shortages. So first thing, just go to the website, twc.health/grant. Use that promo code GRANT for up to 10% off. But these kits are going to be life-saving, and I hope you never have to use them. But I've already used the kits, and in fact, I woke up. I was traveling over the weekend. I woke up. My throat is all swelled. My glands are swollen. I'm looking at my throat. I'm like, man, do I have strep throat? If I do have strep throat, guess what? I got the antibiotics on hand, amoxicillin, right there with me. I can get started right away. Speed of delivery is the key to all of this. I feel like it's going away, though, here as the day progresses. So that's a good thing. But if not, I have it. And it's the speed of delivery that matters so much. Not to mention ivermectin is in these kits as well. You get the ivermectin, and that has been just turned out to be, in my opinion, a miracle drug when it comes to COVID and so many other things. Helped me get over a long lasting cough that I never thought I was going to get over. So twc.health/grant, use that promo code GRANT, get there today. And I guess, Peter, the real aspect of this is speed of delivery. That is what saves lives, isn't it?
It's early intervention, Grant. That's exactly it. And any doctor will tell you the sooner that you treat something when you feel the symptoms, like your throat issue the other day, that's how you avoid hospitalization. That's how you avoid, serious complications and medical bills. And that's the beauty of telehealth and the ability to have these life-saving medications on hand. I mean, if you told me 5 years ago, Grant, that we would need to have medications like this in our homes, I probably would have shrugged and said, nah, that's not important. Now I think it's every American's personal responsibility to do this, because you just don't know what's coming next after everything we've been through. And you can save yourself or your family a ton of money and, perhaps, a serious trip to the hospital.
I think it was probably wasn't really till after COVID or during COVID that I really started to take the precautions of starting to hoard not just food and water and ammunition, but now especially being associated with the wellness company, these prescription medications as well. I think COVID was the big wake-up to what government was willing to do to us. Forget about natural disasters and all those things. Those things can happen. You got to be prepared for them. But I just couldn't believe that government was willing to put us in such a bind.
Yeah, well, I mean, King Dollar, right? And that's what we learned last time during COVID. And, you know, they demonized ivermectin and all these drugs because, quite simply, Grant, they were cheap, safe, and effective, right? And they weren't going to make money off of something like that when they could, you know, invent a experimental gene therapy.
Well, you know, our voices were silenced basically through this. And in many respects, our voices are still silenced. I can't air this podcast on Facebook. They would shut me down instantly for talking about these things, which is such a shame. I'm literally quoting CDC numbers, but they still would censor us. There is some good news. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals revived a lawsuit against medical boards. This was the Association of American Physicians and the Surgeons Educational Foundation had sued some of these medical boards saying you were harming doctors by threatening to take their licenses away, by claiming they were going to do all kinds of punishment to these doctors for speaking out against the COVID treatment and offering up alternatives, things that the doctors at the wellness company offer up. Well, now this suit can move forward. To me, I think that's really good news.
Yeah, and this is, to me, a very encouraging development. I mean, a couple months ago, Grant, you'll remember that a lawsuit was won against the FDA for their propaganda campaign against ivermectin. This, to me, is an extension of that. This is overstepping by the bureaucracy that's supposed to be governing the medical establishment. Doctors and patients, that relationship is sacred, Grant. Like, whatever the doctor and you decide as the course of treatment, that's what the doctor's rights are to prescribe against. So if they want to recommend something against COVID or give you an alternative opinion, it's fully within their rights to say that. The medical boards come in for malpractice, and malpractice has nothing to do with giving patients recommendations and explaining all the options. In fact, I'd call that good medicine. And I'm really encouraged that now they can actually kind of face the music for what they did.
It amazed me that we got to the point where doctors were not allowed to treat patients the way they felt was best. And they were asking government for advice, or government was giving advice on this stuff, because I don't know of a time when government ever actually treats patients. I mean, they may oversee the treating of patients, but we don't really go to government doctors. I guess if you were at the VA, maybe you could make that claim, but doctors treat patients, not the government.
Yeah, it's medical boards are only in existence to make sure that patients are treated in a safe way. They have nothing to do with the recommendations that are given. And the other phenomena, Grant, which the article doesn't mention that we saw a ton of during COVID, were these witch hunts where members of the public who heard a doctor speak and didn't like what that doctor maybe had to say because he perhaps recommended something that was against the establishment, went to the medical boards and filed complaints. That's something the medical boards allowed. Patients, there are people that weren't even the patients of the doctor to file complaints against doctors for speaking out. I mean, talk about overreach. I mean, that has nothing to do with the purpose of the medical boards, and that just encourages horrific behavior and poor medicine.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, it's interesting because the doctors that you guys have brought into the wellness company, I don't think it's a coincidence that are all doctors that face this kind of, I'll call it persecution.
Absolutely. I mean, Peter McCullough, who I know you've had on the show, you know, before, he's probably the poster child of that at this point, right? I mean, yeah. He's, you know, been deboarded. He's had everything he worked for his whole career basically taken away from him. And I mean, he was the top cardiologist in the entire nation by any metric that you want to choose to measure him by. And he had all of that taken away, not because of how he treated a patient, but because he was just pointing to science and saying, guys, look, we should really question this.
Yeah.
And that was enough to lose that member of the Cardiology Institute.
But, you know, there's strength in numbers. So when you bring on guys like him and Dr. Thorpe and all these others that are associated with a wellness company, the knowledge starts to spread and the word starts to get out. Now I'm skeptical of any, if you're not associated with the wellness company, there's a couple other groups out there, fine. But I'm skeptical of you. I'm like, why aren't you? Because everybody else seems to be just doing whatever the CDC tells them to do.
Yeah, walking, talking robots, right? And we founded the wellness company, Grant, because we just wanted to be a safe harbor for these types of doctors who were committed to the practice of medicine and keeping patients safe and healthy based on the scientific facts, not the propaganda that they're getting from, people like Fauci who never saw a patient.
And again, folks, real quick, if you're looking for the website of the wellness company, it is twc.health/grant. Use the promo code grant for 10% off. And again, just start the steps of taking precautions to keep your family protected in case of anything. In Texas, we just had power outage for I don't know, some people were out for almost a week a couple weeks ago. Thankfully, I've got a generator because I tried to take precautions on those fronts. So do this with prescription medications as well. twc.health/grant. It could save you or your family member's life. I mean it. I hope you don't have to use it, but if you do, you're going to be awful glad you have one of the medical emergency kits on hand. twc.health/grant. Use promo code grant. All right, last story for you. This one I just thought was interesting. I'm still assessing the end result of this, Peter. 50 maternity wards in California closed down. 13 of the 17 hospital chains that own them are for-profit companies. Apparently, that maternity wards are very expensive to operate. Medi-Cal, which pays for 50% of the births in California, is the fifth lowest rated when it comes to reimbursements for maternity situations. So I'm sure these for-profit companies were like, well, hell, we're not going to offer maternity wards because they're just not profitable. But it was interesting, even in the article, it's not that these hospitals were losing money. They were making lots of money. I guess they just want to make more.
Yeah, it's a reflection of a very sad state of affairs, especially in California. And I'd contrast this with everything that we've seen. I know it's Pride Month, so it's being rubbed in our faces every single day now with the transgender movement and how states like California are actively encouraging kids to seek medical doctors that will encourage gender transitions. Now, Grant, I don't know if you saw this article from a couple of years ago, but the University of Vanderbilt did a very detailed analysis of how profitable transgenderism is. The surgery and all the follow-ups, they had tagged, it was over $100,000. And it was the whole business model of transitioning gender, which, again, we're totally forgetting about medical ethics here. We're totally forgetting about what's best for the patient and what's best for society, frankly, and just looking at how can we turn this person into the most profitable version of themselves for the medical system, rather than how can we make this person the healthiest person they can be? And that's the big problem.
It seems like everything is now surrounded money, surrounds money. But I'm a firm believer in free markets. The problem is when the government gets involved in the free market, then it doesn't work. Like if you look at the COVID shots, well, the government was funding the pushing out of these COVID shots. So it wasn't allowing the market to make a determination of whether or not they were working. And then the government mandates that you take them. So that's the government manipulating the free market. And it's the same thing with these maternity situations. The government pays for half. How many, I wonder, families wouldn't be having children or would be waiting if it wasn't available to them to have half their birth paid for. The other side of this, though, as I think this out, is you've got electricity companies. Some are quasi-public, quasi-private, like a half and half, but they serve the public. They have to come under more tougher and stringent regulations because it's like life-saving electricity they're giving you. Same thing with hospitals. You can have them for profit, but if you're serving the community, it's not just a plastic surgery center. I understand you've got to have some kind of regulations that maybe you've got to do extra things in order to get your license. But it disappoints me to see that money is the end all in everything, especially when it comes to medicine.
Yeah, it's sad, Grant. Like you, I'm a diehard capitalist, but I don't think either one of us would argue that cars shouldn't come with airbags and seat belts installed, right? And I think we need to have some sort of regulations that establish a minimum standard of care, especially for are pregnant women, who honestly, they're some of the most important people in our society. We need the next generation. We need to keep growing. And the fact that we would, you know, risk this population, who is the most sacred people we have, because they're maybe not the most profitable population in medicine, it just really shows the warped nature of incentives in medicine today.
You know, not to be too crass, but this reminds me of the casino. Okay. So I love casinos. I don't go a lot, but I love playing the slots, but I also love playing poker. Most of these casinos have a poker room. The poker room is not profitable for them. Maybe they make a little money off it, but they'd be more profitable if they filled the poker rooms with slot machines. They don't, because the people want to come and they want to play poker. And maybe they'll play some slots in the process, but they do it as a service to their customer. I almost think it's like the same thing with these maternity wards. It's almost like you got to do it if you're going to be a real hospital. It may not make you the most money, but you got all these other things that are making you money. As long as you're staying profitable, how about you just serve the public and its needs?
Yep, I completely agree, Grant. I mean, we have to make it sustainable, that's for sure. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're pregnant, you're going to need medical treatment. There's no way around that, right? And if we're going to be denying that to people, you know, we really need to reflect on ourselves.
Yeah, we sure do. Peter Galluli with The Wellness Company, I appreciate you coming on. I want to tell folks again about the great wellness kits, these medical emergency kits that The Wellness Company offers up, plus a range of other products and supplements as well. So what I tell people to do is go to this website, get yourself an emergency medical kit, make sure you start with that, and then peruse the website. And you'll see there's a lot of products there that are really going to make you a healthier person and a better person. TWC.health/Grant. TWC.health/Grant. Use that promo code Grant. Do it today. And I promise you, you're going to be grateful that you did, in case you ever need it in an emergency. That's going to do it for us today, folks. I'm Grant Stinchfield. Stinchfield's Army Rolls. We'll see you on the Real America's Voice show tonight at 7 p.m. Thanks for watching, everybody.